gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were in a no-win situation? Damned if you do, damned if you don't? I think that is the way Paul might have described the situation as he looked back at his life, trying to fulfill the law, working to earn and deserve and merit salvation. He certainly knew the law and understood its demands. In Philippians, he describes his basis of confidence in himself, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people Israel, of the tribe Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. If anyone was prepared and fit to follow the law, it was Paul. And Paul also loved the law. Two verses before the start of our lesson from Romans, he acknowledges that the law is holy and the command is holy and just and good. And then a few verses later, he said it was saying, I believe in the law of God in my innermost heart. His experience of the law is something else. Even with pure motivations, even with focused intentions, he just could not satisfy the law. He could not fulfill the demands of the law on his own. Listen again to Paul as he describes his experience of the law. And think it sounds at all familiar to me. I do not understand my own actions. I can do what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I would, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body? Or do I know how to do it? Definitely, I know how to do it. Jesus also knew about knowing the situation. He says his generation is like a bunch of mead and wine and children. If we say, let's do the joyous and festive wedding song, so then we say, let's do the opposite then. Let's sing a sad and mournful funeral hymn. John and Jesus can look as parallel to the one kingdom, but as different in styles of funeral and weddings. John can fast and calling for repentance. Possessed by a demon, obsessed with discipline. And Jesus came eating and drinking, came feasting and inviting all to join in his joy, and then recoiled as him a glutton and a drunkard. These are bad drunkards, definitely not spiritual. Fault is found. An offense is taken at both. A no-win situation. Wretched indeed, what are you? Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is light, and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me, and you will be having weary is more than just my heart. I'm tired when I clean out the garage or when I take my daughter shopping at the mall. Those are good times because I can look back with pleasure and see that something came of my efforts and my hard work. But weariness is something else. Weariness is more like working hard at something and not seeing any progress or result at all. Weariness comes from working and fixing a broken relationship only to have. Weariness comes from a job that's only a job. There's no joy or satisfaction in and of itself. Weariness comes from giving up on self only to have a discount and no discount. Weariness comes from trying to do what is right only to have a bad Philip in the great 20th century theologian said that Jesus is not talking about a new demand, a new doctrine, or new laws, but rather a new reality, a new being, the new power of transforming life. He calls it a yoke. He means that it comes from above and grasps us with saving force. He calls it mission. He means that it's not a matter of our acting or striving, but rather that he's given before anything we can do. We can find it. This new reality is that why we are seeing the power of God. This new being is that we are both sinner and saint, both dead in our sin and alive in Christ. This new power transforms our struggle to be good enough for God into a free and joyful response to the goodness of God. God seeks and saves those who cannot be good. What is the world? In the heart we speak of the world without thinking and thinking of God. Jesus' yoke is not insurance against the pain and heartache and difficulties in life. In fact, the burden we bear is the pain and heartache and difficulties of the whole world, but not the world that God so loves. We surely we don't know that. But in Christ we are no one. And so it is comforting as we meet with those who need us and we voice with those who need us. And we don't carry the burdens in vain, for in this yoke, in the cross, we see the victory and hope that belongs to those who carry the weight. Having to rely on ourselves alone, free from the no-win situation and happiness. Jesus is inviting us to a new freedom that only grace and hope, and being bound to Him and to one another, can give. And that must be.